declare, get yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. It's exciting, and we are living in the days of fulfillment of prophecy. You know, I was looking at Daniel, the 11th chapter, and you might not be able to understand some of the things there, but with a lot of references, you can see Isis in Daniel 11 prophesied long ago, and even the attempted coup that took place in Turkey. So many interesting things being fulfilled, all coming to pass. And I said, God, you are awesome. This Bible is awesome and scaring. If you just have illumination, tell somebody illumination, illumination. I pray this morning that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened in the knowledge of Him. That not one among us here will be blinded to the events of the times, that we will not be ignorant nor veiled concerning the coming of our Lord and the taking away of the church, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let there be illumination. We declare the end of our captivity through the blood of the covenant, even the blood of redemption. From the throne room perspective, I proclaim and decree and declare the end of the captivity of this house. Let our captivity be overturned. Let the captivity of your people be overturned. Let the captivity of this house be overturned. Let the captivity of this nation be overturned. We overturn the captivity of Ghana. Let the captivity of Ghana be overturned. On his 60th birthday, let the captivity of Ghana be overturned. In the name of Jesus. Please put your hands together and give God praise. Before you are seated in heavenly places, please take a moment. We are living in interesting times in the history of humanity. There are also evil days. Evil days. The Bible has predicted it. And one of the things that makes it so scary is the fact that it was prophesied by Jesus that business will go on as usual. And as much as we will see prophecies being fulfilled, we will not believe, we will not accept it. There are so many people who believe that. Somebody called me the other day and he said, "Hey, Papa, we hear that you are now end time prophet." And we laughed about it, but I said, you can call me any name you want to call me, but I am determined to preach the whole counsel of God to the extent that God gives me grace. I will proclaim the whole counsel of God. Somebody said, well, you know, we still have to enjoy life. So Jesus is not coming now. Why do you have to preach all of this? Tell us something new. We want to hear something powerful. You know, wait when we finish enjoying life. The real life is not here. What you see here is not the real life. This is short. Eternity is what we must all look towards. Amen. Turn your Bible, please, to Matthew, the 25th chapter, reading from the first verse to the 12th verse. There are parables, and we need to appreciate the meaning of some of these scriptures as it relates to our time, our days. Amen.
Matthew. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins.
Listen, then shall the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes you hear the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. We'll be talking later on about the difference between the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Is it the same thing or is it different? But hear carefully. Go ahead.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish.
Tell somebody, you are among the wise. You are among the wise. Tell them, I believe you are among the wise. I really do believe you are among the wise and not the unwise. Go ahead.
They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was
tell a cry. Somebody, I will not slumber. I will not slumber. You see, the slumber here is a very, very strong word where the enemy veils us. We go to sleep. We are not vigilant. And we are not watchful. We are not sober. And events can overtake us. Tell somebody, events will not overtake you. Events will not overtake you. The events of the end time and of the coming of the Lord must not overtake us because we are children of light and not of the night. Amen.
And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps.
All the 10 virgins, not some, all the 10 virgins. Now this is not talking about unbelievers. This is talking about you and I, believers. Go ahead.
And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord,
the
open to us.
Unbelievers. The other unbelievers. But what?
Other virgins.
The other?
Virgins.
The other? Go ahead.
But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not.
Stop there. It explains itself. It's self-explanatory. But it's talking about the coming of the Lord. Some will be left behind, as I showed you in Matthew 24, that two will be walking on the field and one will be taken and the other will be left behind. A husband and wife will be lying in bed and the husband will be taken and the wife will be left behind, or the wife will be taken and the husband will be left behind. You may have children. Some children will be taken and parents will be left behind. A son may go and a daughter or daughters may remain. Daughters may go, a son may remain. It will happen. I'm just telling you. That's why Jesus cautioned us and warned us that this is a possibility, that among the 10 virgins, five were left behind because they were unwise, and five entered in like in the days of Noah. So please keep these things in mind because they will happen. My responsibility is to declare the whole counsel of God to you and to myself. So no, because none of us are above scripture. Bishops, archbishops, prophets, evangelists, teachers, none of us are above scripture. We are all subject to scripture. And as I preach to you, I'm preaching to myself. Amen. We must all take heed to ourselves, working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. There's a lot of false teachings going on right now that is very scary, where people have become the source of the power of God. Some people believe that you don't have to pray to release the power of God, that power doesn't come by prayer. I don't know how power comes. And some people believe that they have the power within them. So if you need to be healed, you need a miracle, you need to come to them. They have to touch you. You need to travel to wherever they are. And when you are in contact with them, and they release the power, you'll be healed. It's all deception and foolishness. It's part of the false teachings of the end times. And you hear all kinds of teachings and declaration from false prophets, false teachers, false apostles, and false crises. And one of the things that is so scary is that most times we all point our finger to false prophets, but there are a lot of false teachers who are deceiving the church. And people can't catch it. They don't see it. The Bible said that Jesus was baptized in the Holy Ghost and left the baptism and went to the wilderness led by the Holy Ghost. You know, March 20th will be in Israel. I'm taking few people with me, not too many. I just want some few people in Israel. And there are two places of baptism. But the original place of baptism where Jesus was baptized, which I went there last year again to baptize people this year, is kept from the public. You are not allowed to use that place. It's all barricaded. During the time of the war, the Six-Day War, they stopped every activity in that place and they buried lime mines so people can't go there. But the Israeli government was petitioned and they've cleared a path to allow us in there. And when you look at the place where he was baptized, the same Jordan, but the particular spot, comparing it to where he left and went into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days, 40 nights, and returned in the power of the Spirit, it really do make sense, because we went down to the place where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights after he left the Jordan, and in those days they walk. But there is just something about that spot, because I've been to the other side of Jordan where we do baptism, and when you go there, you will see my picture and everything there. By God's grace, I don't know why they did that, but it's there. Anyway, and if you look at the baptism of this other side, where I take people to through special clearance from the Israeli government, it's also the experience there is unbelievable, you know. And realize that in God, there is no time. There is no time in God. So we live by time. God lives in eternity, and he is eternity. So the fact that Jesus was there 2,000 years ago means nothing to eternity. 2,000 years ago to God is right now. Jesus was there right now. They don't live in time like us. They are not restricted. So definitely there is a divine residue in some of these holy spots. You know, if you walk in Revelation, you understand what I'm saying. I remember that years ago when I lived in America, we had a lady that was on our board, and she built a place in their house called the Prophet Chambers for me. And whenever I traveled to that side of the United States, I would sleep in that room. The husband wasn't born again, and he had this pain in his spine and had taken every painkiller, and the pain won't go away. And one night he sneaked out of the bedroom and went and laid on my bed. And in the morning, the wife woke up and didn't see him and found him later on. And he said, you know, it works, it works. And the wife said, what works? He said, the prophet bed, there is something in it. And he said, I went and slept on it. I woke up this morning and all my pains is gone. And I haven't taken my painkiller. Now, don't clap. That is just a man subject to like passion like you and I. A man subject to infirmity and a man subject to passion and to vulnerability. And imagine Jesus, who is not subject to anything, God in the flesh, walking in some of those places that we'll be going. Don't tell me that there is nothing in those holy spots and places. Something is there. When you stand in the tomb, the first time I walked into the tomb, my whole body was electrified with fire. My palm, feet, everywhere was electrified with fire for days. Couldn't eat. And those are not things you experience or encounter everywhere. There are certain places that are demonic infested. You walk into certain areas, you can feel something evil in the atmosphere. You walk some places and you know that there is evil here because of things that was done there. So keep that thing in mind. If you want to come along to Israel with me, please make sure you register. It's the 20th to the 26th of March. Amen. So keep some of these things in mind. Luke, the 17th chapter, reading from verse 30, 26 to the 30th verse. Luke chapter 26, chapter 17, verse 26 to the 30th verse.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man.
So shall it be as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be. So he's just reminding us. Because before the rain in the days of Noah, it had not rained before. It had never rained before the rain in the days of Noah. The dew came down in those days. It never rained. So when Noah preached 120 years about the rain and the flood, they couldn't accept him. They couldn't believe it. They said, forget it. This guy is sick. And I know I'm going to sound funny as time goes on about some of these end time signs, you know, but it really doesn't bother me, because I was telling a young man the other day, I said, you are not free until you lose your reputation. I said, a man and a woman is free when you are without reputation, when you've lost your reputation, and the court of public opinion does not matter to you anymore. And whether people accept you or reject you, misrepresent you, speak well or ill of you, doesn't matter anymore. That, at that point, you are free. But if you are one that is conscious of your reputation and what people think, perceive of you, and you want to be in the good books of people, you want to be accepted by all, and you want to please people, or you want to live your life caring about the opinions of men, you will never please God, and you are in bondage. You are in life imprisonment with hard labor. And I've been there before. I've been there for many years. And the Lord said, as long as you are conscious of your reputation and of what people think of you, I can use you. I cannot use you. I can't entrust you with my power and my glory as long as you are conscious of public opinion. And the greatest freedom I enjoy is the fact that nothing matters anymore. Call me any name. It doesn't matter. And until you come to that place, you are not free. And you know something? You know something? The songwriter said, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'm not impressed by too many things anymore. I'm telling you. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. I used to have a friend in Nigeria, lived in Victoria Island. He had every expensive watch in this world. And some of the watches were very, very expensive. And he used to take me to a room within his bedroom. He would press the button and the door opens and you enter in and it's packed with dollars. Not dollars, dollars. See, the reason why some of you don't have dollars is because you don't call it right. Somebody say dollars. And you know something? The Lord said to me, never ask him for a dollar. Don't ask him for a dollar. And I walked with him for many years and never asked him for a dollar. And one time he and the wife said to me, we're very surprised that you brought every preacher here. We bless everybody. We haven't blessed you. And you've never asked us for a dollar. They use the same word, a dollar. And I said, because you are not my source. And yet at that time, I had need of money like crazy. And God said, I will teach you how to live without money before I can bless you. That if you can't have power over money, you will never command money. So I will teach you how to be without what you need the most and live by faith in God. And I lived and I worked with him for years and never asked him for a dime. And a situation came up one time, I didn't appreciate something he did, and I walked away. And I named his church. I named the church. It's still there in Lekki called Wonder City. And on the day of dedication, I sent, I think, Bishop Ben, somebody to go, and I said, I won't come. They sent a private jet here to pick me, and I said, I'm not going. And the thing that excited me was the fact that even though I knew he had all this money, private jet and everything, I had the audacity to walk away as a free man and said, I'm never stepping foot at your church and I'm never dealing with you anymore on the grounds of principle. I bear you no grudge, but I will not be subjected to that kind of situation. Pa- power and money is very powerful. And I've worked with people with money. I just don't brag. But I go places and I've learned certain principles. That you know something? All of these things we follow after, we bluff over them. We literally mishandle people, disrespect people, look down on people, belittle people, despise people. On the grounds of material things, position, access, money, power, houses, abroad or here, it does not matter. It's all sinking sand. I'm telling you, sinking sand. I've seen people who commanded hundreds of millions of dollars. I was telling somebody the other day, I walked through a house that every day people park their cars morning and night, going there to collect money, and it has become desolate. And the man that built it is lying in his tomb and in his grave, gone. And the house has become a haunted house. And I pass by and I tell my children and everybody, I said, don't put your trust in money. Don't do it. It's sinking sand. It's not worth it. If you are happy because you have money or you have properties and that is where your security is, I pity you. But if you are happy because your confidence is in God, Jesus said, rejoice not because demons are subject to you, but rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know what makes you happy. I don't know what makes you happy. But I sometimes I'm there without liquid. I can be there, have no money, and it really doesn't matter. I know what is most important to me. And so I don't let anybody hold me at ransom or bluff me because of material things. I won't do it. Go ahead, please. Luke 17, 26 to 30.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man.
Tell somebody, these are the days of the Son of Man. These are the days of the Son of Man. Go ahead.
They did eat. They drank.
They what?
They did eat.
Are we eating? Come on, turn to somebody and say, we are eating. Oh, we are eating. Go ahead.
They drank.
Tell somebody, we are drinking. Not just water, but we are drinking some things. Tell somebody, I know you are not drinking some things. But some people are drinking some things. Go ahead.
They married wives.
Ah, are we marrying wives? Tell somebody we are marrying. Oh, we are marrying. Yeah, worry. Go ahead.
They were given in marriage.
They were what?
Given in marriage.
Are we giving? Are we giving in marriage? Yeah, it's life. 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 Go ahead.
Until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all.
Until, and it shall be like the same. It's until. And there, you see, one of the reasons why I'm talking about these things is because there is some surprise elements in the coming of the Lord. Surprise elements. He talks about suddenly, immediately. Like a thief at night. The thief don't tell you he's coming. Thieves don't tell you. They ambush you. Take your time. Take their time and watch and see your movement before they attack. And he will come like a thief in the night. Go ahead.
Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat.
Are we eating? We are eating.
They drank.
We are drinking.
They bought.
Are we buying? We are buying, oh. We are buying things. Ladies, are you buying hairs from India? Hey, you are buying. Men are buying. Women are buying. Shoes, perfumes, watches. We are buying houses, lands, cars. And it's great. It's okay. Buy cars. I'm not against buying houses, oh. I'm not against any of the things the Bible is saying. So don't look at me and say, Papa said we shouldn't buy land. We don't know what has come on him. The guy said we shouldn't buy, we shouldn't build. I didn't say that. Buy, build. But whilst you are buying and you are building, be prepared and be elect and be qualified for any time. So if you're on your land or you are building and it is time, you are ready. It doesn't matter. Whether you are 100 years or 5 years or 20 years, just be ready. That's all I'm saying. We are buying, right?
They sold.
Are we selling? And we are selling. We are selling things. Go ahead.
They planted.
Are we planting? I'm also planting. I have a vegetable farm. Planting tomatoes and peppers. Onions. We are planting. Go ahead.
And they build it.
They what?
They built.
We are building. Go ahead.
By the same day that Lot went out of Sodom.
Where?
That same day it went... Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all.
You saw the last word in about Noah, destroyed them all. Here, destroyed them all. You know, there are people who say that, you know, God is a good God. God is love. He won't destroy man because he made man in his own image. Yes, he's a God of love, but he's also a God of judgment. He loves us. That's why he cautions us. Whom the Lord loveth, he chastises. There are people who don't want to be rebuked, corrected, or chastised in the church. You correct them, they offend it. They are hurt. They walk away from you. They don't want to deal with you. But the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chastises. If God loves you, he corrects you. He rebukes you. And I love you. I love you. It don't matter what you think. I love you. Amen. Go ahead.
Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
Tell somebody, this is the day of the Son of Man. Tell somebody, this is the day of the Son of Man. Okay. Let's go on to 1 Thessalonians 5:1-8. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-8.
But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you.
You see, brethren, not unbelievers, so brethren. Of the times and the seasons, you have no need that I write unto you. Because one of the things that confuses people, they want to know the time, the season. If we know the time and the season, we fool. Then when it's time, we repent and we change. He said, no, I'm not going to tell you the time and the season. That is not for you to know. Right?
For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.
You see, that is the surprise factor. It cometh like a thief in the night.
For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
They shall not escape it. They will say, everything is fine. Don't mind this papa with his latest end times. We are fine. Business is booming. Charlie, I'm breaking through. Charlie, check my latest. Drive the letters. Enjoy the letters. But don't forget, time has expiry date. Amen? Go ahead.
But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief.
It will overtake some people, not just unbelievers. Believers will be overtaken. Go ahead.
Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others.
Sleep as do others. Go ahead.
But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation.
Those are very powerful things. The breastplate of hope, love, helmet, and hope of salvation. There are some deep things there, but we are not going to go into that. We'll leave it for now. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 18.
See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil.
Listen, these days are evil times. I'm telling you. You know, I was going somewhere for vacation, and I had a friend of mine call me from somewhere in the world, in security, and say, you can't go there. And I said, but I go there, Lord. He said, no, you can't go there now. Our intelligence is telling us all kinds of things. And because of the internet, social media, and so on, you can't go there. If you are going there, you have to change your name. And I said, I'm not changing my name. And he said, then you can't go there. And I was looking at it and I said, wow, we live in interesting times, eh? The days are evil. Things are happening everywhere. It's not like it used to be anymore. You know, I had a call yesterday about a young man working at the airport. He left work and went home, came out of his car, stood at the gate of his house. Just before he entered in, a car pulled over, and some people behind the car shot him. Pow, 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 pow. 3 bullets, hands and leg. In Ghana here. Whatever the reason is, I don't know, but that is what is going on. Very scary times. The days are evil. Redeeming the times, for the days are evil. And the reason why I'm telling you, the Bible said, unless the times are shortened, even the very elect shall be deceived. I'm telling you. The level of deception in the church these days, the level of deception with programs and activities and things going on that people are hiding behind to make money, the level of deception that is going on in the church world today, all kinds of programs, all kinds of activities and things, and the motive behind it is to manipulate, make money, get a crowd, be relevant, be big. The whole thing has become a merchandise and is scary. Go ahead.
Wherefore be ye not unwise, but be understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Be understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen.
But be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but deception. Be filled with the Spirit.
Be not deceived. It's very difficult to be filled in these days, oh. Very, very difficult. Schedule, agenda, business. We can't pray like we used to pray anymore. Somebody said to me, Papa, how do I keep my prayer life going? And I said, pray 3 times, 4 times a day. He said, I can't pray hours like I used to pray before. And I said, it's not the hours, but it's the consistency. So in the morning, Ledoko futa kahasa. Hey, morada kiso. Mandos. Ipro kadisa. I override deception. I override mischief. I overturn my captivity. Yea, I declare the end of the days of my captivity. Let the captivity of your people be overturned. I lift up prayer. I make atonement and supplication, intercession for the flock, for the nation, and for all that are in authority. Oh God, remember your people. Ibokasha, Amada Gododo Sitili Kapahadasa. About 5-10 minutes. You break it, go about doing something. Somewhere in the afternoon, oh, dagada hazus, legrodo kosi kada la rabagada, and you take a walk in the office. You need 10,000 steps a day. You have to walk 10,000 steps each day to be alive. Other than that, you die prematurely. Find out. You see this thing in my hand here? It tells me how many steps a day I've made. I need 10,000 steps a day. So when I'm walking, I'm not just walking. I'm doing it with understanding. I need 10,000 steps. It tells me how many steps I've taken a day. So when you wake up, you go into the washroom in the morning. Just between the time you go to bed and the time you shower and leave, you go to the washroom before you hit the bed again and sleep. Just take 5 minutes. Oh, dalaha susus. Le malawaki sadila mahadaya. Ah, I override evil. I overturn mischiefs. I overturn devices, conspiracies. I override and overturn wickedness of any kind, shape, or form. I will not be a victim. I will not be a casualty to any evil way. God, remember my children. I reach out to everyone that concerns me. In prayer, I lift up supplication, intercession, atonement. Ilakadalawasata. I cover them. I secure them. In the name of Jesus, go back to sleep. It's not the hours, say the consistency. The Muslims pray 5 times a day, the Jews 3 times a day. You think they do it in hours? No, it's the consistency. Saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. It's a lifestyle. I'm not praying because I need a breakthrough. Some people think you pray because you need money. I don't fast because I need a breakthrough and I don't have food to eat. It's a spiritual exercise for spiritual fortification, fortitude. It's consistency. So sometimes I pray 4 times a day, sometimes 5 times a day, minimum 3 times a day. Sometimes in the night, I don't know how many hours. I just pray. Sometimes when I can't sleep and things are bothering me, I just say, okay, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And I say, Satan, you've made a mistake. Because I'm going to bother you. For this time that I'm not sleeping, until sleep comes to me, I'm going to blame you and I'm going to fire. I'm not going to lay on the bed struggling, trying to sleep. I'm just going to be firing. Lagadabahasa, I rebuke him. I plead the blood. I overturn. I come against. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to fire till I sleep. He will leave you alone. Next time, he won't bother you because he knows if he bothers you, you'll be in trouble. Okay, let's move on. Hebrews 12 and 14.
Follow peace with all men.
Follow peace. Not with some. All men. Go ahead.
And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord.
Follow peace. Peace. We must be determined to be at peace with all men. You see, these are scriptures nobody is talking about. There was a time, there was a situation with some religious group of people. And a young man, you know, took me up. And I felt that, no, my intention for what I said 7 years ago, which just came up, was not about trying to attack anybody's religion, but to help the church to understand how much we are failing. And they came here to see me, you know. As a matter of fact, I was going to go there. I said, I'm going to go there. And they said, no, they said they'll come. So I said, okay, let them come. They came here. And I apologized to them. I said to him, I never intended what you are thinking. And he said, I'm sorry. I said what I said out of anger. It's on tape. And I said, I also apologize. Somebody took what I said. I also apologize. And didn't use his word that I said what I said out of anger and I'm sorry. They kept that one out and only brought what I said that I apologize. And put it on social media and made me look bad. And then some people said, Papa, he apologized first. What he said is all on tape. You two put yours out there. And I said, I won't do it. They talked and talked. People sent me mails. We need to hear the other side. You have to put it out. And I said, defend myself for what? I'm not defending myself. I have nothing to defend. I said, the tape is there. Maybe in some years to come, I'll put it out. But now, I'm not going to put it out. Put it out to what? To also prove that he apologized first before I apologized. I should have apologized first. Because the Bible says, seek after peace. Follow peace with all men. So what am I trying to defend? I have no reputation. So I said, I won't do it. And people were calling me, it looks very bad. It's like you're a backslider. And I said, they can say whatever they want to say. They didn't redeem me. And they are not my Lord. They are not my Savior. They can say whatever they want to say. I am not defending myself. I am not putting out there what he said. I said, do you understand the implications? I put it out there. The apology he made. I put it out there. You is fire for fire. You don't need all that. Nobody must be hurt because of me. So I said, I'm not touching it. I'm leaving it. And during that time, it hurts. Because I was misrepresented. And I said something to somebody. I said, if you look at the people who are criticizing me for what I do, I said, look at their spirituality. Look at their standing in society. Look at who they are. They are amateurs and they are non-entities. They have no understanding of weightier matters. They are the one criticizing me. And I said, weigh them. And look at those who are speaking for me. You see that they are two different types of people. They are levels. So I said, I am not defending myself. I'm not putting out anything. There are people sitting on this platform. They had it. They said, we'll send it around. And I said, well, you can send yours around to your friends. But I'm not sending mine around. And I'm not giving instruction for what he said to be sent around. You can insult me. Call me every name you want to call me. It doesn't matter. I need No other argument. I need no other plea.
It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me.
I have people in this church, some people tell me, well, don't relate to them. People, you must not let people know they are close to you, they have access to you, they are not very good people, they are very bad people. People say, okay, and I still relate to them. I still relate to them. We are all a bunch of sinners. Yours hasn't come out. And most times, you know, people who speak ill of people, and I've watched them, even in the church, they are always the dangerous people who are guilty of more evil than the people they accuse. And people who are critical of everybody, I watch them. I'm telling you, I watch them very carefully. I watch mothers who are very critical of their husband and critical of their children, and fathers who are critical of their kids and critical of their wife. I watch them very. Anybody critical of others, always putting others down to prove a point that they are right, I watch them. I stay away from them. If you see me staying away from somebody, it's because I don't like people who are critical of other people. I don't like it. That is not the spirit of Christ. It's not the spirit of God. Is something else, I'm telling you. And I don't care how right you are, as long as you are critical of others, you are guilty. Simple. Somebody said, give me a biblical example. A woman was caught in adultery. The law says she must be stoned to death. The men came. There was no woman there, only the men. They came with a stone, ready to kill the woman. Jesus said, he among you with a stone in his hands, that is without sin and is not guilty of a sin, let him cast the first stone. And he started writing everybody's sin on the ground and their names, their date of birth. And they all started throwing down their stone, everybody walking away. And I said to myself, how on earth, knowing that you are guilty of something, had a stone in your hand to stone somebody to death when you know you are guilty of something? That is human nature. All of us are like that. So I've learned by experience, when I see people being attacked, I'm very careful. I'm telling you. I just want to tell you that. And when people are down, I don't touch them. If I'm fighting you and you are down, I leave you. I won't kill you. You're down by yourself, not by my hand. But if we say we are Christians, let's be Christians. Follow after peace with all men. All men. It's difficult. And then another word we don't hear anymore in the church, which I haven't preached even for a long time, this word, holiness. We'll talk about it one of these days in details, about what holiness means. But it's something we don't talk about, because we are all guilty. This word holiness, it means more than what you think it means. It means a lot, this word holiness. Holiness. So we don't want to touch it. But the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. And yet we preach everything, we talk about everything, but the Bible said these two things, if you miss it, you won't see God here or in eternity. And yet, you know, when I was taking to heaven, I saw some things. I haven't discussed it much. I've discussed some with Bishop Nyako, but not everything. Because I'm still processing some things up to now. And some of you can't handle it. And it scared me. I went to different places. And there was a place, and I saw cars in heaven. Cars. cars were driving in heaven. And I said, how can there be cars here? And the angel said, have you not heard and have you not read that the streets of heaven are made of gold? What are streets for? That is all. And I understood it, not in my physical body, but in my spiritual mind. I got it. And there was a place I went to. People were living in dormitories. But they were in heaven. It's another part of heaven. They were living in dormitories. And some of them were very great people when they were on earth. Had so much wealth, money, influence, access, powerful people. I didn't know them. But I've been told who they were when they were here on earth. And they live in a dormitory. Then some people live in mansions. Then I was taken to a mountain and they showed me a city. And they said, this is the city of T.L. Osborne. And I said, that is my grandfather in the faith. So many interesting things. And I began to understand that, hey, Charlie, this race, eh? Some will live in dormitories. Oh. Somebody said, yeah, I don't care. As long as I'm in heaven, I'm fine. You don't know. When you get there, you'll see. Some will make it by fire. But they live in, because when they were on earth here, you know, they were against God. You see, the word, ye workers of iniquity, I know you not. That workers of iniquity also stands to reason that if you were a worker of iniquity, it means that you were working against God. So there are preachers who own churches and ministry who are working against God, working against the elect, working against the works of God. And there are believers in the church who are working against the work of God, working against leadership, working against the salvation of people in the church. Have power, they have gifts, they have money, they have wealth, they have influence, and instead of them to use it to help the work of God, they are using it to fight the work of God. Jesus said, on that day, I will say unto you, I know you not, workers of iniquity, get away. That's not talking about unbelievers, though. It's not talking about unbelievers. Even people with gifts in the choir, gifts in the church, you use your gift to divide the church, to bring division, splits into the churches. Careful. Careful. You have to watch your motive. There are people in the church with money. And they use their money to fight the church. They have access. They use their access, influence, gift to fight the church. Whilst you are building, they are scattering. They are critical of everything you do in the church. Critical of the leadership. Critical of everybody but themselves. They are always right. Everybody is wrong. Workers of iniquity. And I told you, I'm still processing things from that one experience in heaven that it's not like we think it is. Because heaven is not just one big place. Oh. It has many cities within it. And God is everywhere, but his throne is somewhere. And not everybody will have access to the throne. You don't understand some things. And I'm not ready to say some things because you won't be able to get it. You will not be able to apprehend it. So I'll just leave it. There are some things you have to find it out yourself. And that is the difficulty of maturity and growth. It's not everything I tell my children. I let them grow. All right, let's move on. Without which, peace. I'm determined to be at peace with all men as much as it is possible. And sometimes it's difficult to be at peace with some people. Sometimes it's even difficult to be at peace with your own brethren. I'm telling you. Sometimes it's difficult to be at peace with loved ones. But the Bible says, without peace and holiness, no man shall see God. And I don't like fighting. In Pentecost, it's more normal. It's more B. I don't like strife. As much as it's possible, I like to walk in forgiveness and in love. That's it. And I hold no ought against anybody. You see me, I don't hold ought. I don't bear grudges. You hurt me, I tell you, I leave it alone. You keep hurting me, I forgive you. It's your problem. It's your problem. Christianity is not easy. It's very difficult. If anybody tells you Christianity is easy, by grace, they are deceiving you. Don't be fooled. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Blessed are what?
The pure in heart.
Turn to someone and say, what is in your heart? What is in your heart? Remove offenses. Remove hurts. Remove stubbornness, pride, haughtiness, arrogance, rebellion. Get it all. Get it out. It will block you from experiencing God. That word seeing God means they will not experience God or encounter God. Get it out of your heart. Blessed are the pure at heart. They will experience God. Amen. Psalm 15, 1 to 3. Psalm 15, 1 to 3.
Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle?
Who shall abide in your tabernacle, your dwelling place?
Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?
There's a place called the holy hill of the Lord. Not everybody will go there.
He that walketh uprightly.
Uprightly, being conscious of being at peace with all men, being conscious of holiness. Which is different from what a lot of you think. When we come to that word holiness, you see it. Go ahead.
And worketh righteousness.
And worketh. Righteousness is something you work it. It's not to. There are two kinds of righteousness. Imputed righteousness and fulfilled righteousness. Imputed righteousness gives you and I right standing with God because of Jesus and his blood. Fulfilled righteousness has to do with the things that are required of you and I coming to church. Not exempting yourself or abstaining from the gathering of the brethren as the manner of some is. Paying your tithe, giving offering, honoring your vows, giving first fruit, supporting the work of God, winning souls. All those things are fulfilled righteousness. But there is imputed righteousness where I stand before God and I have acceptance because of Jesus Christ and his blood. Amen. You work it. You work those things. Being a your neighbor, you work it. Walking uprightly, you work it. Following holiness, you work it. Right.
And speaketh the truth in his heart.
The truth in his heart. Today, Christians lie. We can lie with passion and conviction. And one of the things that will stop a lot of Christians from entering heaven is also lies. We'll get there, you see. Liars. Liars won't enter. I don't mean you lie once in a while, but I'm talking about liars. People who have lied where they have now come to believe a lie that they can't help it, but anytime they open their mouth, they must lie. They won't enter. And I know believers who lie. They'll say, oh, Papa, I'll call you. I'll call you. It's a lie. I used to tell one of my sons, instead of telling them you will call them back, tell them to call you back. So it's on them. Because you know you won't call them. And that is a lie. So tell them, please call me back. So if you forget, it's on them. Sometimes I return the call of some people that I don't want to return their calls. I'm telling you. And so, like somebody called me yesterday from the U.S. on a number nobody has. And I didn't even ask her who gave you this number. Because she was all excited on the phone. Papa, forgive me, papa, papa. I didn't want to kill her spirit. So I almost said, who gave you this number? And I checked my emotions and said, hey, don't kill her spirit. So she talked to her and I said, okay, God bless you. And I left it alone. I won't touch it. And I don't know who gave her my number. And some of you Christians, you don't return people's call. There are some people, when they get position, promotion, political power, you call them, they won't return your call. Before then, they will return your call. There are people, when they have power, when you call them, they won't return your call. When they didn't have power again, they will call you. And as soon as you call, they will return your call. What kind of anointing is that? Tell somebody, say, what kind of anointing is that? What kind of anointing is that? Treat human beings as human beings, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you have. Treat human beings as human beings. Please. Because you don't know who you need tomorrow. Hear me. Time changes. Tell two people. Time changes. Just tell two people. Time changes. Emrezisa. I know you are powerful, but time changes. I know you are loaded, but time changes. I know you have breakfast in the morning with President Trump at the White House and dinner at Buckingham Palace with the Queen, but still remember, time changes. So treat human beings as human beings. I know you have access. I know you have the telephone number of everybody that matters in town, and everybody calls you, but you don't call them. But still remember, time changes. Treat human beings as human beings. I'm telling you. I've seen power. I've been places. I've seen access. I'll be standing in a line and they'll pull me out of the line and say, please come with us. Secret Service. And they'll take me through a certain path with the people with me. And I said, is there anything wrong? They say, no. We have instructions to take you through. And they'll take me straight. We'll get to the plane. People are in line. And they say, excuse. And they say, nice to see you, sir. And I said, but who sent? Well, we can't tell you. And I asked myself, sometimes, Rosa, I would say, what kind of favor is this? We go to hotel to eat. Quiet place in America. Nobody knows me. We finish eating. I ask for the bill. And they'll come and say, somebody has paid for it. I say, who? He said, well, sorry, we can't tell you. It's been paid for. And I said, who paid for it? And I said, no, I want to know. I insist to know. He said, I'm sorry, we can't tell you. Somebody paid for it. And I said, did they give you a tip? Yeah, they gave us a good tip. And it has happened to me 3 times in different restaurants. I went to Holiday Inn here. I got to the lobby. Some of my security guys were standing around. And I said, listen, I don't want you people following me like I'm some big somebody. So don't do that. If you are with me, you do your job. Hang around, do your job. But don't follow me like I'm some gay guy. I don't like that. I'm a very simple man from nowhere. So I don't want you to blow my head. I don't want to sing. So stop all these things trying to make me important. I don't like it. I went to the restroom. Nobody followed me. As I was going, I felt a weight behind me going to the restroom. So I looked back and there was a guy following me. He was holding something in his hand. So when I went in there, I said, you know something? I'm not going to use this place. I'll enter the bathroom. So I entered in and I locked the door. So when I finished, I came out. As soon as I came out, he went on his knees. He said, Papa, I just wanted to lay this seat on your feet. I saw that your people were there. They won't let me see you. So I wanted to lay this seat. Please pray for me. Bless me. And in the washroom. Don't ask me how much was in it. I don't remember the amount and I don't want to lie or exaggerate. So I'm going to leave it alone. I can't remember how much. But there was something in it. It was heavy. I put it in my pocket. And I said, Father, thank you. Even in the washroom, blessings can follow. I'm telling you. Be serious. Hey. Church. God is sweet, oh. Listen, sometime I'm in the plane. I'm asleep. First class, asleep. I'm asleep. And the stewardess will wake me up and say, Archbishop. Sometimes they say, Dr. Williams. And I say, yes, ma'am. Somebody wants to see you. From the business class. And I said, who? We don't know. But it looks like they are holding something in their hands. And I said, okay, let them come. Then they come. No, then they will kneel down. and say, Papa, you don't know me. I'm so and so. I just wanted to put this seed in your hand. This particular time, remember, $1,000 in an envelope, put it in my hand. Papa, pray for me. And those things embarrasses me. Where there are people all over, and it's like, who is this guy? One time somebody did that, and the air hostess, two of them came and said, "Sir, who are you?" Then one of them asked me, "What kind of perfume are you using?" So I almost said, "Are you checking me out because of my perfume, or what is it? What do you want?" Very interesting. And I said, "I don't remember. I use different kinds of perfume. I don't remember what I'm using that day." In the plane, sometime in Heathrow Airport, BWI, I'm going to check in, and people will cross me and kneel down before everybody, put a seed on my feet. "Papa, pray for me. Papa, bless me." I'm telling you this to help you to know that if you serve God well, He can chase you with blessing everywhere. Anywhere. There are so many things I don't pray for. I don't buy things like this shoe I'm wearing. I didn't buy it. There are things I don't buy anymore by God's grace. I don't buy things anymore. This shoe is three of them. Very, very nice. I was there. They brought a box, DHL. And I said, "Why?" Somebody said, I said, "What is it?" And I said, "Don't open it here. If there is bump in it, go and open it outside." See the way my mind works. Said, "Don't come and open anything here." Well, I said, "Don't ever bring parcels and things here. Open it outside before you bring it here." So we've checked his shoes. And I took very nice shoes. I didn't buy it. I don't pray for things. My passion is prayer mountain and the drug rehab and building a safe house for young ladies who get pregnant and are ashamed to carry the pregnancy so they don't go aborting. There are so many things I'm thinking about and I pray about. Orphanage, so many things, not material things. My priority is very, very different. Buying cars is not my priority at all. I can sit in a taxi and it doesn't really mean anything. You know why it doesn't mean anything? I've sat in cars. So cars don't mean anything. And I can wear anything and go somewhere, but they won't allow me. The other day I was wearing something. I was wearing this fugu and I wanted to go to lunch with it. Hi. From Rosa to everybody, by the time I came out, they said, "No, you can't wear this. You can't go." And I said, "Why? I'm a free man." They said, "Yes, but you can't go out with this." And I said, "This is bondage." You know? I said, "This is bondage. I want to be a free man." I said, no, you can't wear this. And I told one of my sons something. I said, "Royalty is restricted and managed, but freedom is given to the masses. And that's why royalty governs the masses. So don't think that freedom is always good." You think about it another day. Stand on your feet.